the Feeding Matters International Pediatric Feeding Disorder Conference explores the theme, Feeding Development, where systems, skills, and stories connect. This entirely virtual conference includes over 30 hours of continuing education with keynote sessions from Emory Center for Ethics Professor John Leisiker and from the family nutritionist Alexandra Turnbull. Attend live, virtually, February 25th through the 27th, and view on demand March 9th through April 30th. Visit feedingmatters.org/conference to learn more.
Presented by Feeding Matters, with hosts Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding does matter.
Hey everyone, welcome to Feeding Does Matter. I am here with my co-host, Dr. Haley Estrom. How are you doing, Haley?
I'm all right, Jacqueline. How are you doing today?
I'm all right as well. I love when we get to kind of forget the world and focus on some things that we've got that are exciting right now. And this year, we are continuing our series of interviewing a lot of the people that made Feeding Matters who it is today. And so with 2026 being our 20th year from starting as Popsicle Center to becoming Feeding Matters, it's with great pleasure that I share our next guest in this 20th anniversary interview series. And that is Mary Beth Fueling. Who is a pediatric dietitian and has been involved with Feeding Matters in so many different ways, not only as in a formal capacity on our founding medical professional council, within conference, in different roles as conference committee and conference chair, as well as helping us launch Feeding Alliance as we shifted away from the founding medical professional council to broaden the community, and now sits on our documentary task force. And Mary Beth and I have had so many different just times together, because like not only in the formal role that you've been in with us, Mary Beth, you've also been such a partner in brainstorming to me and a guide as like I've kind of grown in the organization too. So super excited to have you on. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. And it has just been such a pleasure to be a part of the organization and to have the opportunity to team up with all of you. It's truly, truly been a blessing and a gift to be a part of all of it. So thank you.
Thanks, Mary Beth. Now, I know, because even before we started recording, we started bringing up some different like memories and stuff. So we'll dive into like that stuff, the reason why we're here. But we haven't had you on the podcast yet. And some of the things that I think are important to share with our community is how people find themselves in the career that they're in, especially in disciplines like yours, where I know that like it is hard to come by dietitians who have the specialty in pediatrics and the specialty in feeding. And so would love to hear your journey and how you kind of found yourself here with whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Yes, I'm very willing to be open about my journey. And I think it's important and ties into it. I started out from rural Nebraska and interested in food. And so my first career was as a food scientist. And I worked for 10 years as a consultant in the food industry and really enjoyed what I was doing. But at the same time, found myself really wanting to help people more. And so because I had already completed a bachelor's and master's in food science.
Well, and tell people a little bit about what food science is in case people may not know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I actually, when I received my bachelor's degree, worked for an organization that consulted with food manufacturers, both little and large, to develop food products. I was working with food manufacturers at the time that the food labeling law to add the nutrition facts panel came about. And so I was helping food companies navigate getting their foods tested so that the nutrition information was available for them to create their food labels. And I also was part of starting up an entrepreneur program in the state of Nebraska to help people that had new food product ideas become a reality and create their food businesses. So it was a pretty wide variety of experiences with food manufacturing. And one of the faculty that was involved was also an expert in food allergy. And Dr. Taylor helped create and develop the food allergy labeling laws and some of those things. So I was actually involved in the food allergy world before it was even a thing. And so as one of the faculty was hearing me saying I wanted to change careers, she said to me, you need to be a dietitian. It'd be a perfect match with what your expertise was at the time. So to be a dietitian, you need to go through an internship and sit for boards. And so I went to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota for my internship. And at the time, wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I was pretty certain I was going to go into health and wellness kind of things. But after rotating to the pediatric floor at Mayo Clinic, I fell in love with pediatrics. So as I finished up, I was looking for a pediatric job and could go anywhere. I was footloose and fancy free and ended up in Milwaukee at Children's Wisconsin around the time that Dr. Rudolph had come to Children's, as well as Dr. Joan Arvidson and a couple others. And it was right around the time that they were developing the feeding program at Children's. So it was really just exciting time to dive in, and got to be a part of the feeding program at Children's right away at the ground level. Which
is that what you had gone there for in Wisconsin? Did you kind of go there because they knew they needed a dietitian, or it was just something you kind of happened upon?
I just happened upon it. They just were slowly adding more dietitians. Dr. Rudolph had become the chair at Children's GI division, which meant that the nutrition program was growing because he saw the need for more nutrition care for kids throughout the system. So our department, clinical nutrition, is separate from GI, but because of the tie between GI and nutrition, his influence helped our department grow. And as he was growing the specialty care within the GI division, it had an influence on clinical nutrition and the need for more dietitians. I actually started in the inpatient side and was the dietitian for the GI patients that were getting admitted to the hospital. But then as things were growing, I was had the opportunity to transition from the hospital to the outpatient clinics and help develop both the feeding program and the food allergy program, which that was the allergy division, but they all tied together. So, and the dietitian plays such a big role in both of those specialty areas or diseases or problems that it was nice to be able to have one dietitian that's working in both places to help the communication and development of those programs.
And did you feel like you kind of had the recognition of how important dietitians were in that work? Because I know we hear a lot about that, of kind of like the struggle to advocate for your discipline.
It's definitely been a journey at Children's. When I started there, Dr. Rudolph was the person that was recognizing the need and the importance of the dietitian, and that influenced how Children's changed over all these years. Since then, there's been lots of key people in our organization that have spoken up, have advocated for nutrition care from lots of different disciplines, whether it's our medical director for our department, whether it's a cardiologist, whether it's a PICU physician or nurses, or, you know, it's just over time. Everyone that cares for kids has increased their awareness of the importance of nutrition in order to help the kids have the best outcomes that they can possibly have. And Popsicle Center Feeding Matters has been part of that journey too. And it's not just Children's Wisconsin recognizing it, the whole country is gradually increasing their awareness of the role of nutrition and the value of specialized nutrition care from a dietitian for kids. That's and adults, to be true. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Well, and you had said that Children's Hospital did the feeding program kind of around, I think you said like 2005 or so, was when that program started getting up and off the ground, which means it aligns really nicely with when Feeding Matters was launched. We were launched in 2006. And so with you kind of coming to Children's and then finding yourself in that program, how did you start your interaction with, probably at the time, Popsicle Center?
Yes, it was really being in the right place at the right time. Dr. Rudolph was someone that Shannon, I believe, is who contacted him directly and found out about him and his expertise and his reputation for his knowledge and wisdom. And I think Shannon contacting him made it very easy and natural for the rest of us that were already involved in helping support what he was doing at Children's Wisconsin. It made it quick and easy way for us to be involved from the ground level. Midge Kirby was the dietitian that teamed up with him initially, and she was my mentor and full of wisdom, and she always was innovative and could see what the future should be for kids from a nutrition lens. And she really made a huge difference in how we approached nutrition at Children's Wisconsin and challenged us all to always be thinking forward and questioning what we're doing and what's the next new evidence out there for nutrition care, and to not get static, not just accept.
Kind of stuck.
Yeah. She and Dr. Rudolph were really amazing together, and I think helped guide me and my thought process and helped develop my approach to nutrition care for pediatrics. I always keep them in the back of my mind as far as what would they do if
they're the little voices on your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
You need an internal collaborator.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you know, I mentioned both of their names, but certainly everyone that I've interacted with at Children's Wisconsin over the years since then have influenced how I've provided care, how I've thought about the care. And it's been multidisciplinary from the very beginning for all of the domains. So the list is very long from Children's Wisconsin of the people that have influenced how I provide care and how I think about things when it comes to pediatric feeding disorder. I've been fortunate to work with a lot of very smart people at Children's Wisconsin. And then you talk about Popsicle, now Feeding Matters. Very quickly, by being a part of the organization from the ground up, now I had the opportunity to interact with lots of very knowledgeable, innovative, smart people from each of the domains. And I just find that to be so rewarding and part of the reason why Feeding Matters has done so well. I can still remember the very first conference that I had the opportunity to go to, which was, I think, close to the first conference.
If it's the 2008 one, that was the first conference. Yep.
It blew my mind away that there's all these people across the United States that we didn't know about that were already trying to improve how kids with feeding problems were receiving care. And to see everyone in one room and hear the conversations, in my mind, that was a moment where the energy, the passion, all of that was coming together to really launch a lot of what happened later, because a lot of people connected with each other and could encourage each other to stick with it, work through some of the hard stuff,
It happens in our conversations, even mm-hmm. though there's disagreements or people coming from different perspectives. I think it's been a consistent theme at Feeding Matters that we have the hard conversation, and it is just kind of uniting to advance care for children mm-hmm. and families. And that takes that intensive collaboration that I think you all modeled so beautifully. Mm-hmm. You brought two pieces and many more pieces, but two that I wanted to call out in terms of how much you helped us at the beginning was you did so much work in terms of being a visionary for our conference and really thinking about what's needed at the education level. I think maybe at one point you were even education pillar chair of those initiatives. And then also really the role of having dietitians be a part of this work. We relied on you a lot as kind of the only dietitian in the room. And that often meant you were on lots of different things because we knew we needed a dietitian in the room. So maybe talk to us a little bit about your journey with the conference and how you saw that change and how you had a part of that change that's happened. And we can even get to where it's at today, which is it's been cool to see it grow too.
I think when you think about it, one of the biggest challenges for each conference was figuring out what was the hot topics or what was most needed for the audience that was going to be attending. I think from the very beginning, we knew we wanted the conference to be value added and provide something that would help anyone that was attending move the needle just a little bit further with improving care and meeting the expectations or the needs of everybody that was out there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's challenging to determine those topics. I think I'm most grateful for the way Feeding Matters has always coordinated and encouraged the collaboration between all of the pillars and domains, and how you've always made sure to have each area represented, and you weren't shy at asking for yet one more person to consider speaking, or let's go for it. Let's ask if this person that we think is untouchable, if they'll be willing to come and give a keynote or to give a quick topic.
It's a motto for us. So,
you just never take no for an answer. No. And that's important, and that's helped get the organization to where they are today.
Yeah. And so since you've like not been involved with the conferences, but have been able to participate in conferences or seen them like take place virtually or any of those different things or whatever it's evolved into, and it has done a lot. Like there's been so much more community integration into those pieces, and we've been able to. This last time, Mary Beth, you would be so proud of this. Like we had the most amount of abstracts submitted that we've ever had. It's become increasingly competitive. And we used to have to, like you're saying, like almost beg people to be a speaker sometimes. And so it's just crazy how it's changed. Any thoughts on kind of how you've seen it evolve and where it feels like it is today?
Well, I think the conference was kind of the launching point for many other things. It helped get the other things going. So as you were talking about that, it made me think about the research arm of everything and how the research piece has always been in the mix with the conference. But then you also were instrumental in helping us develop the research world around PFD. And the first conversation that we had was a small group of people that actually came to Milwaukee to have that discussion around research too. And just a good reminder that things link together, but then in order to accomplish something, you kind of have to parcel them apart and give ownership and leadership to the different things. But the fact that you could reach so many people virtually and expand to a virtual conference has been incredible. The advocacy that's come from the conferences is enormous. The number of people you're reaching and the different populations for the audience, it's all just been incredible.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Congratulations on all your great work. Now, Mary Beth, I remember the first conference being kind of like an oasis that we found.
Yes, you know, definitely. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, for discovering like-minded people. And it was just like, wow.
Absolutely.
And yes. The concentration of all that energy and thought in the same room. It was incredibly exciting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Agreed. It's a great way to
describe it. And what's cool is like now that's so much bigger and you see people who are so interested in feeding that it's not, there's no more like little island. Now it's like so big that there's so many people in this field and taking on it, and we don't have to be a part of all of it anymore. Like it's been really cool to see in that regard too.
Absolutely.
And that kind of links to the dietitians growing too. It's been great to see how many more dietitians are involved in this work too. What do you think? Do you think it's kind of what we talked about earlier of like just general recognition of the role that nutrition plays just more broadly? Because I feel like there's things that are outside of our control that have been really beneficial for that recognition.
Mm-hmm. Pediatric nutrition has changed a lot in the last 15 years. Yeah. We had criteria come out for the diagnosis of malnutrition. We've had increased awareness around the importance of the subjective nutrition-focused physical exam. Our discipline has increased the expectations for education. You have to have your master's degree now in order to be a dietitian. The expectation of specialization for pediatric nutrition is extremely high. There's a lot more specialty certifications that people can obtain. The list goes on and on as far as what has changed around pediatric nutrition. And you can argue that a lot of it's been fantastic. You might argue that some of it maybe hasn't helped the discipline as much. But overall, the research and the information that's out there to help support what we should do as dietitians when we're caring for kids has just grown exponentially, which is then impacting what we do and then makes it more interesting and desirable to people that might be looking at how they want to specialize in nutrition. If they've decided that they want to be a dietitian, how do you decide if you're going to work with the adult population, if you're going to work with pediatrics? If you are going to work with pediatrics, do you want to get into an area where you need to work with other disciplines a lot? The multidisciplinary care of a feeding patient is very different than working in some of the other specialties where you might be a little bit more independently working with a child for their nutrition care. So if you enjoy working with other people, feeding is definitely the thing to get into. It's not going to be boring. It's going to be exciting. And you're going to have to work with lots of different disciplines in order to do your job well.
In order to do your job, lots of different disciplines. Yeah. Team members, not a solo field by any means.
Yep. And it's always changing. Like today, your recommendations may be the best thing that ever happened. And 3 weeks from now, something that the psychologist did might change what you need to do as a dietitian. And so it's always changing, always evolving, and requires a lot of personal communication skills and lots of other things to be able to be successful. And it's the family piece, right? The family piece is very different for kids that have feeding problems in that you're having a lot more interaction with not only the parent, but maybe it's siblings or other caregivers, anyone that's involved in the feeding world for that child. So it can really make it a broad, more interesting scenario, I guess you might say.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And that made me think about the consensus work because you were so integral to the PFD consensus paper, that framework, really pursuing a standalone identity and mindset shift around building some guardrails for what this is and helping disciplines communicate with one another. Maybe share a little bit about your memories from that work.
I just remember always wishing that there was more clear guidance to help each of the different disciplines understand how we needed to do our work. So when this started and Feeding Matters was the reason it happened, because all of these people from around the country never would have gotten in the same room and never would have worked through the questions and challenges that we needed to come to this.
Yeah, it's different to do it.
Yes.
Know that it needs to happen.
Right. But it is the best thing that could have ever happened. It's just an incredible step that was taken for pediatric feeding disorder. Who would have ever thought that we would come to a name that everyone would use unanimously throughout the country? But the best part of it is that it increases access and care and for the kids. And and it helps with training new people in each of the different disciplines. It is just amazing that that happened. And I still can't believe that it did. When you look back, you kind of in the middle of
like
it,
where
you
it is
wondered,
now. I don't think I like could conceptualize the how people would embrace it as a thing. Like we knew it needed to be a thing,
right?
But then actually seeing it happen, it has been a whole different thing for me.
Mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to think.
Yeah, mind-boggling.
Yeah, or to think how did we ever function without it too? A little bit.
I was wondering, how have you seen it change things for research within like the nutrition domain? Or have you noticed
it? I think it's given us a way to clarify, define, personally, it helped me be able to get funding for a dietary diversity study within our state. And I think having that definition be part of the explanation of why we needed to work on the dietary diversity study was important. I think when you have a definition overall, it helps clarify the need for that additional work and research.
Fantastic. And I was Marybeth, I was looking back on some pictures to see like what historical pictures we had, and so there were just some pictures from that particular consensus meeting. And it's funny that this like 2016 trend is going around social media right now, because that consensus meeting happened in 2016, and I was looking at all of the pictures. I looked at like Shannon's speech about it, and I just remember in that meeting them trying to figure out like the project coordination of like getting a paper done like that. And it was so cool because at the time I'm just like sitting there in the background trying to take notes, pictures, document everything, and was going to take on the responsibility of coordinating, which I feel like Feeding Matters has done a good job of like really making sure things happen because we're there to help it happen. And you were like, everyone was like, how is this going to happen? You're like, don't worry, Jacqueline's got it. And I always felt so nice that you like believed in me in that way, because I was still so young in my career at that time, and like, you know, it was an intimidating room of people.
Very intimidating room. So that was 10 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's great. Crazy.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah. That's true. I don't think we even acknowledged that it was our 10th anniversary during that meeting. That's funny, Haley. Just haven't put those together.
Well, that's an even more amazing accomplishment that just 10 years in that paper was done.
Yeah.
That consensus meeting, and then the paper was created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where it's been exponential since it came out.
Yeah. And it never would have happened without Feeding Matters taking it on as a goal and a mission.
Yeah.
Because I hope our legacy is a lot of like all about of
collaboration and communication.
Yeah.
Because that's why I feel like it was absolutely needed, was in order for you all to talk to each other.
When I was just thinking about Popsicle and Feeding Matters and what has made it be as successful as it has. And I just remember being really impressed in the very beginning with how the founding moms had the wisdom to know that they needed to incorporate the medical community the way they did from the very beginning, and that they were always willing to ask really difficult questions over and over and not accept the status quo. They were always asking for more experts to get involved, asking for more help, connecting with families more, and just pushing the need, the cause. Even once you met one goal, there was always a new goal that needed to be addressed in order to keep focused on the ultimate goal, which was finding better care for all the kids out there. Even when the moms maybe had the best care for their kids and maybe they were done advocating for their own children, they didn't give up. They saw the bigger picture of it's every kid out there that has this problem that we need to find more solutions, more collaboration. It needs to get better and not accept the improvements, but keep it going, which is what you still do, which is fantastic. The overall vision is just incredible.
Well, and I think we've kept it to what they envisioned originally, which is like continuing to pursue that for all kids. And knowing that like they were grateful to be able to talk to some experts, but knowing that that's not the case for every family and that it is very limiting access wise or information wise or location wise. And we know we still have a long way to go, but still trying to pursue that is really important.
Yes. And I was having some fun creating some, looking for terminology or how I would describe the founding moms or people that work for Feeding Matters
and that kind of thing.
And so I came up with advocates, trailblazers, visionaries. They were great at empowering other people. They're resilient, resourceful, philanthropic, passion-driven, tenacious, community-based, community-oriented, change makers, definitely change makers, and pioneers, activists, actually, too. So there's so many terms that could describe the group and what they've been able to accomplish.
So many terms. And they upheld each one of those. Those were great because that's so true, is we're only here today because of their tenacity. And we're only here today because they were change makers, and we're able to like continue to push community representation and ask for solutions and ask for experts and just continue to ask more questions.
Yeah.
So it's been a long journey, and you've been such a part of all of it. And now we're on the documentary. Like thing that's come out of the document, like it's been, I know we're still like in heavy editing mode, so you haven't seen any of the recent stuff, but what are your thoughts on that and like telling that story from that perspective?
Boy, I'm just really excited that we're at a place where there is a need for a documentary and that there are people out there that are interested in participating and being a part of the documentary.
Can you say what it's about?
It's what families are really experiencing. Hopefully it's a little bit more information and education about it and like what we've done to try to help the system advance. It also maybe touches on our consensus efforts and how we're trying to continue to build bridges. And that includes with the eating disorder world and incorporating ARFID and that transition of PFD into ARFID as children age. And then like what families are experiencing with the hopes of awareness for the purpose of and to be seen and to be like honored and included, that so many families have shared with us things that they're scared to tell friends or families or things that they're doing behind closed doors because people just don't get it. I think we're hoping that the documentary can be a piece that people can attend and get it even before they maybe encounter someone with which they need to get it and be a source of comfort too.
Nice.
So it's, we'll continue to work on it this year. And then when it's done, we'll do some local screenings. So if you're listening, the goal is for us to do local screenings in your area, or if you're in an area where there's not many people, contact us and we'll make sure we have a local screening and we make it happen in your area, because broad awareness is the goal for the documentary for sure. Yeah. So Mary Beth, you've done so many things that have helped us continue to pursue the mission that we have at Feeding Matters, and have been such a huge, or have made such a huge impact on just my own career and understanding of feeding, and even being a part of this world and not knowing anything about it when I started to where I am today. And yeah, so I'm just really grateful to you. As we close out, we typically have a question that we ask everybody, but because we're doing our 20th anniversary interviews, I thought maybe I'd ask you if you had a favorite like memory or something that sticks out to you. Because there's been so many random things that have happened and also very intentional, strategic business type things that have happened. So do you have any favorite memory that you want to share?
I do think that that first conference is probably one of my most favorite memories, in that I can remember standing in the sunshine of Arizona and talking with the founding moms and just learning about why this was all happening. And that at that moment made a difference for me personally, because it helped me gain an understanding of what the needs were and why I was there. And it never stopped after that. And the influence went both ways. I appreciate having the opportunity to be an influence to the organization and to be a part of all of your lives, of everyone that's ever worked for PopSicle and Feeding Matters. But it goes the other way. That organization has influenced me. I know it's influenced my colleagues, and it's influenced the disciplines of all four domains in such positive ways. So I really think one of my favorite memories is just the moment that I got to meet everyone for the first time and see and be a part of that first conference, which then was the launching point for my involvement for the organization. There's lots of memories, though.
No, but that's a really great one. It's finding your why is so important. Mm-hmm. And that is the why. And that often,
yeah,
I think a lot of people's whys come from those either meetings or conferences in which people are gathering together and able to talk with one another, even outside of a formal setting. So,
yeah. And then it doesn't hurt when Arizona sunshine is in the mix.
That's good. Usually, that conference happened in like late January or something. Yes.
Yeah, I am very grateful that you often asked us to come during the winter months and get to sit outside and get away from the Wisconsin winter. Just that was just a wonderful benefit.
It's just the cherry on top.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a pleasure, and I really appreciate you joining us and talking through this with us, and just everything for the last 20 years and what the next 20 years has for us. So thank you so much, Mary Beth, for joining us. Thanks, Haley, for joining me on these interviews. And to all of you that are listening, we are grateful to you for joining us on this journey too. And keep it involved on social media. We'll do a throwback Thursday, most Thursdays, to share some of our historical things. So we look forward to keeping you updated throughout the year. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.